Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, inspire, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. I'm your host, Greg Sylvander. Today's floor plan, tonight's floor plan, with me, Alex Toledo. You know where to find him, at Tropical Blanket. And we have Eternal joining us. You know where to find him, Eternal Bast on Twitter. And he's on Discord and Playback. And so you know where he is. He's a resident of this show to some degree. So welcome as we dive into a bunch of news, actually. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to go through. We got DeMar DeRozan rumors. We're going to breeze through that. We got a couple signings, so let's talk about those. But before we do you have a water leak and you can't find where it's coming from? You got to call Water Cleanup of Florida, 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. 60 years combined experience. Michael, Robert, their entire team are prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged area. They're fully licensed, insured, certified. They provide the one-stop shopping all busy homeowners and business owners require. Service areas include Miami, Broward, Palm Beach County. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell, 954-579-0356. Again, that's 954-579-0356. Visit the website, wcufl.com, where you can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out their Google reviews, over 75 five-star reviews on Google. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz,
they got the guts.
They got the guts. Eternal pinch hit there. That's usually my line as Ethan is starting the show. We got action. We got news to talk about. So this is interesting. Where do we start? I think let's go in chronological order. DeMar DeRozan. That was news that has dropped recently about him being a favorite to land in Miami. I think that was from a West Coast reporter. I can't remember his name, and I apologize in advance.
Jovan Buha.
Thank you. Thank you. Look at that assist. I mean, like, you couldn't have a better co-host. But then also Barry Jackson, the great Barry Jackson, has reported that there's mutual interest from multiple sources. What I can say from here at Five Reasons and Five on the Floor, from all sourcing that comes from myself, from Ethan, I'm not going to speak for Ethan, is that this does not seem particularly viable, to be frank. There's a lot of stuff that has to go right to make that work, especially if DeRozan wants the money that he wants. And so I think it's pretty much, it's not worth discussing because I don't find it to be viable. I'll ask Alex, what were your thoughts when you heard about DeRozan? What do you think about the fit, just quickly? And do you think from your perspective that there is any viable path to DeRozan? Like, you know, there's been a couple proposed ways that it could happen. Where did any of that jump out to you, or are you as dismissive as I have been?
I mean, I was a bit dismissive at first just because it felt kind of out of left field, especially because we know, I mean, we don't know, but we kind of know that it wasn't leaked from the Heat, right? So it was like, it felt like we were being used in whether by DeMar's agents or by whoever else, right, telling these reporters that the Heat are interested, because like you said, it's not very viable, right? Like they, all they have to offer is the taxpayer mid-level worth $5 million. The other problem is the fit, right? Which we don't need to get into. Like, I think it's one of those, like, you know, they've been interested in him in the past. So that part interested me in a way, just, I mean, intrigued me in a way, just because it was like, you know, they've circled back on guys in the past. It was right after the Donovan Mitchell news, kind of. And he's friends with Jimmy, right? And it would be him and Jimmy on a one-year deal, right? So the problem is you would have to, if you wanted to even offer him the full mid-level, you would have to move under the first apron, which implies that the Heat would have to move off of one of Tyler, Terry, or Duncan for, you know, either no money in return or significantly less in return just to be able to afford DeMar, right? And then the report also came out that he doesn't want to settle for the mid-level. So if you want to offer him even more than that, like, it just gets tough. So if the Heat can figure out the way to get DeMar, like the money he wants to be, the Heat figure out a way to probably dump, it would have to be Tyler just because he has the biggest contract at, what is it, 28, 29 mil coming into next season. And then after that, it's like, you know, you do that just to get DeMar on a one-year deal. And I guess financially, there's some sense to it when you look at, like, you know, you could just get off of the money after 1 year. If you want to reset things, you don't have to, you know, get off a pick to do it. You get someone who is, in theory, better than Tyler, right, as a scorer, as a creator. But, like, you're also, you know, he's 10 years older, more or less, and it's going to be over after 1 year because we don't know what's going on with Jimmy. It doesn't look like it's headed towards a great place. And DeMar is on a one-year deal. So the whole thing just very, like, it's very murky. It's a very murky idea. And I feel like they're trying to get him money and the Heat were kind of being thrown in there. I don't doubt that the Heat like his game or whatever, but that all of that feels like too many steps for the Heat to do just to acquire DeMar, getting off a guy in Tyler who they've liked so much. Like, it doesn't feel like a Heat-like move, but maybe I'm wrong there.
Eternal, your thoughts on DeRozan, and also just generally, I think it's interesting that the trade market has been pretty quiet, frankly. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of blockbusters that have taken place. I mean, we got a couple, I guess, with the Bridges deal and such, but Ingram is yet to be moved. People are looking at Lauri Markkanen. There's these guys out there, Trae Young, that Heat fans are, you know, to varying degrees, they're hoping for. What are your thoughts on the trade market in general and also DeMar DeRozan from your perspective? And then we're going to slide into the guys that they actually have acquired in the second part of this.
Greg, I kind of think you went to me on purpose on this particular thing, considering the last couple of days of what's been going on Playback, on Twitter and our Discord. Make sure you guys join us on Playback and join us in our Discord off the floor. I agree with Alex. I mean, it's kind of the same thing that we addressed on Playback when Ethan went 1-4 flat, with just, you know, having the top of the organization, somebody in the organization reach out to him that didn't agree is the way I'll put it, that didn't agree with, you know, with the reports that came out or the speculation that came out in regards to any movement between DeMar and the Heat. Like Alex said, I think if they could get him on a reasonable deal, sure. Moving things around to try to get him just seems very unlikely. There is a path. There is, you know, definitely arguments that you could make in, on behalf of that, you know, where, you know, you free up some money next summer, and maybe, you know, DeMar even helps you during this season in some, you know, some places and some spaces. But I mean, it's not really a big conversation to necessarily have. It doesn't really necessarily think that seems like anything that has legs to it. As far as the market, I would say something that I have been kind of watching and monitoring during the season, after the CBA was announced, that like teams are going to have to make some moves in order to get, you know, far away from, you know, the penalties that are going to happen. And as we're seeing, like you see teams kind of like really being either hesitant or being frantic as far as trying to get away from the second apron and just how hard it is to build a contending team, unless you're like the Boston Celtics. New York has made some moves to go all in. But we just saw, you know, the Lakers not really being able to do much as of the time of this recording. And with LeBron signing that new contract, it just got much harder for them. So, I mean, maybe we hear some things after the fourth. Who knows? Things could, fireworks could pop after then. But as far as now, we haven't necessarily seen a frantic NBA free agency like we normally see.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think maybe some of the deals got announced early. And so it took a little bit of the fireworks of right when it hit 6 o'clock, like a lot of that stuff, teams had already been able to negotiate with their own players and come to agreements. So we heard about some stuff early. So that may have something to do with it. But I also do feel like the league is a little paralyzed right now because they're trying to figure out how to react to this. And I think the Heat are included in that in terms of just that, they're close to the damn second apron. You talk about teams trying to get away from the damn apron. They're sitting right close next to it with what they have going into next season now. And so it's to be able to improve the roster, it's really difficult to maneuver. And so it'll be interesting to see if they do find a trade, because to make a trade that's just a lateral move that doesn't improve anything financially, I don't foresee them doing that. I think that this is more about them, if they can find an opportunistic move that also helps the books a bit, then that's where you start to look. But the fact that we haven't seen fireworks yet, maybe we'll see them after the fourth. Like you say, I think people like to take the day off, and maybe they'll play on Prize Picks, which is the official daily sponsor, daily fantasy sponsor of Five Reasons Sports Network. It's Daily Fantasy Simplified. You choose your favorite players in your favorite sports. They put the props up there in terms of all the different stats you can choose from. You choose more or less. You can do flex plays, power plays, depending on where you are. You can play on the web at prizepicks.com or download the app. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. That'll get your initial deposit matched up. $5, Prize Picks. PrizePicks.com, Daily Fantasy Simplified.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about what actually happened, because the Heat, they came to an agreement with one guy and they officially signed the other guy. Let's get the first one out of the way. They officially signed Thomas Bryant. He's back on a one-year deal at the veterans minimum. That's why they can announce it now. So he's officially back. To me, that's a move for a third string center. Because Khalil Ware is really the guy that I think would be hopefully able to harness that backup spot. But Alex, your reaction to Thomas Bryant returning for a second season in Miami?
Pretty much echo the same thoughts as you. He's an extra guy, you know, on the back of your roster. And I know a lot of people, you know, didn't have great, a great reaction when seeing the news today, because there's wasn't that many roster spots left, right? And I think people were hoping for maybe even outside free agents, even if they weren't like top of the line, right? And obviously before the other news that came, and it was just like, oh man, he's back. But look, you need bodies, and you know, you can make the argument that they didn't need another big body, but I'm not, you know, I don't think it's that bad of business for them to just have an extra one there, because Love is a little bit older. I don't think you want him to, you know, play all that much during the season. You know, you have Khalil Ware, who you just want to give, you know, I think ideally, you know, you give a lot of minutes to him during the season, you know, just for him to get the reps. And we know that Bryant is not, you know, a playoff solution or anything like that. As it is, you know, he's a veteran minimum. third big, right? More, some, you can even consider him a fourth big, right? Behind all those other guys. So, you know, not mad at it. It's just, you know, after the other news that came out with Alec Burks, it's, you know, that you have one roster spot open and one that, you know, may be open if they waive Orlando. And they've historically gone into seasons in the, you know, in recent history with 14 roster spots. So yeah, it's starting to feel like they're getting closer to the end of free agency. And I think that's why it's worrying people. But, but the Thomas Bryant thing to me is just like, similar to the Drew Smith thing, where like, if this would have happened, I think down the line, it wouldn't have surprised people as much or like upset people as much, but because it's happening in the thick of free agency, it's like, okay, this is what they're prioritizing, even though I think it's just like, no, they're filling out the, you know, the end of their roster, which they have to do too.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And it's just, it's anticlimactic to some degree to bring back Thomas Bryant. I think people would want to go for a higher upside play. But you know what? They know what they're getting. He now understands the way that they operate. If he's going to come back and be a veteran, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a real difference making move. Eternal, would you have liked to see them use that roster spot on somebody else? And do you think Orlando Robinson sticks? Because I think that they're not going to guarantee his deal. That's my gut feeling. How do you feel about that situation and how it'll pan out?
Considering, so I'll do two things. Considering the previous conversation about, you know, the market and teams making move or lack thereof, I think I'm gonna be honest with you. I think Thomas Bryant is a swell person. Seeing him not get any minutes, you know, like that last season, especially when we had heard talk, seeing that, you know, there was supposed to be a competition between him and Orlando for the backup big behind Bam, right? Like, so they weren't supposed to be end of the bench type bigs. They were supposed to get some type of meaningful minutes. They ended up going to Kevin Love, who we thought would be the person at the end of the bench. So, I mean, you know, that to me, it just signals from what we have seen, they like him. They obviously think he is a plus in the locker room. Him opting out of the deal and then him signing him back, save them the money, a la, you know, Kevin Love. So I will say that maintaining a good locker room is very, very important in sports, especially in basketball, especially if you plan on making some moves and you do change some faces in the locker room. You want some guys that's been there. That do know, you know, what type of environment that you would like to have. So maybe that's a part of it. But I do think Orlando is gone because they are very close to the second apron. But also, too, I just don't think there's any space for Orlando. And I think they've seen all that they could see with him.
So I think we're all on the same page with Thomas Bryant.
He was decent, though, just to give him some credit. You know, he was decent in that stretch where K-Love was out in the second half of the season, you know.
He had his moments. He did.
Serviceable for a veteran minimum guy, you know.
Yeah.
He had his moments, you know.
Plays with a lot of energy. Right. You can't say he doesn't have a high motor. That guy is running all the time. It might not fast. He might not be running fast. He may not be jumping high. But he is out there giving it his all.
Hey, they may want him there to just wear Bam out in practice. So, like, that might be his role.
There's a Russell Westbrook quote out there, you know, Alex. And I think you made a great point. He does be running around out there.
He was decent. Like, you know, for a vet minimum guy, again, if you go into it with the expectations that he is not supposed to be a part of your night-to-night plans, he is essentially only playing when, like, you're missing other bigs, when you need to fill out the rotation. I think he did that job, decently well, you know, with those expectations in mind. Like, I'm not mad at it. It's just very, like, again, the timing wasn't great. And, you know, I just think ultimately you look at the roster and it's like, is this what they needed? Another big. So it feels like Orlando's going to be gone, because adding another big on top of this, like, doesn't feel like the move. And no shade towards Orlando. Like, he has had his moments through the years. Like, really, you know, when you see a guy like stand out at summer league like that, you think, oh, maybe they're going to take the next step and get some, you know, regular season minutes. And he didn't really stand out in his minutes. And look, maybe they keep him around at some point, you know, bring him back. I don't know. Like, we've seen the Heat get back with guys like that, you know, if they feel like they've continued developing. But as of right now, like, it doesn't seem like that's the move. They have until, I believe, the 15th to waive him before his contract becomes guaranteed for the season. And even though, like, if they waived him, it wouldn't really, like, do much for them as far as the second apron, because he's not making very much. But what I think the thinking for waiving him would be, you know, it allows you to kind of stay in the game for however much longer for Caleb or Haywood, because it seems like they're trying to bring at least one of, well, not at least, it would only be one of them back. And so you need all that money to be able to offer them, you know, whatever you're going to offer them. And if it doesn't work out, I'm assuming they would want to pivot and get a veteran minimum wing. Because when you're looking at the roster, that's kind of what they're missing, not another big. So that's my thoughts there.
Before we get into Alec Burks, who was kind of the shiny new toy of Heat free agency today, I do want to acknowledge that Pelle Larsson, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, he did get a really committed deal from Miami. And he is someone I would expect to get the opportunity to fill some of the wing minutes that are going to be lost in the event that Caleb and Haywood Highsmith are not back. I just watch out for him. I mean, obviously he's got a long way to go, but I think that they made a commitment to him that shows that he's going to be at least given a chance to try to be a contributor at some point. So I thought that was a worthy call out. But then this came out about, and everyone was surprised. Guess what, everyone? They don't have a no clutch rule because they just signed a clutch player. That's Alec Burks. We can put that to bed now. And this is one where I see the upside on offense. The defense is a little shakier, but I do see with the three-point shooting and some of the scoring that he may be a player that can help. But it feels like it does crowd the guard room a bit. Alex, I'm coming back to you on this one, because I know that you've said on Discord, and shout out, I didn't mention off the floor, obviously, earlier. I'm off my game. You need to check that out for $299, $399 on Apple, but you can do it on desktop for $299. That is our Discord server where you can talk Heat all day with really knowledgeable, respectful fans. I say that with a little bit of a chuckle, but we also have a draft channel. We have host updates, the main thing chat. Check it out. That is off the floor. It is in the link of the description of this episode. So check that out, off the floor, our Discord server, $299 a month. Snuck that one in there. You've mentioned that you like the Alec Burks move as a veteran minimum guy. So tell us why.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't blown away by the move, anything like that. I was a bit surprised, again, just because I feel like maybe they could have waited. You know, that doesn't bother me or anything like that. I just feel like the timing was a little bit surprising. But regardless, you're going to need to, like I said earlier, you're going to need to fill out the back end of your roster. And I feel like that's what this is. Although I do think I would not be surprised one bit if we got to see a decent amount of Alec Burks next season, just during the regular season. You know, I think, you know, the Jay Rich thing, he just got back to like shooting. And, you know, I don't know how ready he's going to be when the season starts, when training camp starts. So it feels like Alec Burks already may have, you know, a foot in the door there. He was productive for the Knicks this past year during the playoffs when they had all their injuries. And, you know, he just was promoted.
Against Indy, he was good.
Yeah, he was promoted into a role, you know, that he's not going to be playing for the Heat, right? I don't think he's going to be playing a lot of pick and roll. But, you know, just the fact that he could be productive in a moment like that, you know, in big-time playoff games shows that, you know, they might be able to get okay value out of a veteran minimum spot here, you know, just to get you through a season. Like, the guy can really shoot, right? I think that's what he brings to the floor. Our guy, John Jablanka, pointed out on Twitter that he's not really efficient in the mid-range or at the rim whatsoever, but he does get to the free throw line surprisingly well for somebody, you know, like in this price range. So you're getting a little bit, you know, some extra free throw attempts, right? That's what you can project, as well as a guy who takes a good amount of threes and has hit them for the past, you know, few seasons at a good clip. Like, it was just under 38% from three last season, 41 the year before, 40 the season before, 41.5 the season before, 38.5 the season before. Like, he can shoot the ball. So that's what he brings. I think, you know, in that sense, individually, it's a good signing. The question is that comes into my head and came into my head earlier is just the way that the roster is looking right now. Like, yeah, individually, the names are not terrible, but when you look at it all together, it's like not much perimeter defense. That's kind of what sticks out. And so I feel like the way that the rotation is shaking out right now, like, you have a lot of guys who are either okay or, you know, slightly below average at defense. And then you've got Bam heading it, you know, Jimmy, who is a positive defender, but doesn't, you know, give it his all as far as like deflections and, you know, during the regular season. So, but I guess the theory now is this is like their way of like, okay, we'll bet on Spo to, you know, essentially build a good enough defense to get you through the regular season and have more offensive talent than not. And when I say offensive talent, I mean like offensive role players more so than role players who are going to be left wide open, therefore cramping up the space for Jimmy and Bam even more. I'm not saying this is the right move, but like, based on the way that the roster looks right now today, like, that would be my thinking. That is their thinking, right? Like, they're essentially like, Spo
leaning
will get
offense.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a way, not really, because, you know, it's the same core, but, you know, you're going to have Terry now for a full year. Right. And so you've got that, you've got Jaime and Jovic looking to take bigger steps, you know, in the rotation there. You've got, like, and now you signed Burks, you drafted Larson, right? And so, like, you, again, guys who, like, Larson seems like he's going to be a competitive defender. I don't think he's going to be, like, a complete liability or anything like that. But, you know, if you're relying on him to be one of your better perimeter defenders in year one, yeah, even if he's a 23-year-old polished player, like, that is asking a lot. So it feels like the balance isn't there yet, right? And so that's why I think people are wondering if there's something else coming up, or, again, it feels like maybe they're just going to address the defensive part by getting one of their wings back, right? Like, maybe that's what they're aiming to do. And because right now, you know, Bobby Marks and Barry Jackson and Brian Goins have all been like calculating this. So shout out to them for the, you know, the work they've done. But I believe if they waive Orlando Robinson before July 15th, there'll be $6.8 million. Below the second apron. So if they want to offer one of Caleb or Haywood
6.7,
yeah, they exactly, it would have to be like the first year starts at around 6.7, and then they get raises after that, right? I don't know if, you know, exactly like if Haywood or Caleb, right, would want like bigger raises than just like the 8% or whatever that they're entitled to. So I don't know how that would work out. It feels lower than what we thought they would get. So it even feels a little bit optimistic. But yeah, that's what they've got to work with. They're basically saying, we'd rather bring back one of Haywood or Caleb than get another vet minimum guy.
Eternal, your thoughts on Alec Burks, but also now the guard room is as crowded, and we talked about the roster maybe is a little unbalanced. What are your thoughts on that? Maybe their approach to that? Because I think that's like what the fans are asking next is, okay, so how are we going to balance this with point of attack defense and with some wing defenders and just defense in general with guys with quick feet? Where are those players going to come from? What were your thoughts on Alec Burks, but also the implications around the roster?
Like Alec said, Alec Burks was thrusted into a role that, you know, he probably wouldn't have been on any other team. But when, you know, the call needed to be answered, he answered. for New York as much as he could. Had a good showing here and there. So I just think adding somebody like that to the back end of your roster that can come in and provide, you know, some scoring bursts or just provide some meaningful minutes when you need them, especially for a team that's been dealing with some injuries the last, you know, few seasons, is super important. So, I mean, it to me, it's just why today? Why today? Today just seems very weird to do that today, right? Like that's some, I mean, if you look at the vet minimum signings of the last two seasons, just for Miami, not anybody else, just for Miami, those normally came like a week or two from now. So it's just interesting that it came today, especially when you already have so much of the roster filled out. Like if you look at Philly only has like 9 players literally on their roster. So it's very interesting that for Miami, who has so much of their roster filled, that it came today with those two players in Thomas Bryant and Alec Burks, who, you know, probably still would have been there like by next Friday. You know, I don't think you would have been at any risk of the two of them being signed by anybody, especially when you have so many other guys that are available on the open market right now. As far as addressing the defense, the perimeter defense, you know, it's funny that you said that about Larson, because when we started last season, you saw, not necessarily for the whole game, right, but you saw Miami trust, even for little minutes, putting Jaime on Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Giannis and, you know, things of that nature. And so I'm interested to see the defensive growth that Jaime comes into next season with. We saw the defensive growth of Nico from like looking lost on defense to being trusted in some spaces, even, you know, having some really good minutes defensively. So I'm interested to see the not just overall growth of the young guys, but in those particular areas in defense. And I think Larson, like you said, is, you could tell just from his tape, even the energy of the video that the Heat dropped from, I don't, now that's the thing I don't know. I don't know the videos that Ware and Larson, are those from this past weekend or if those are like their draft workout videos. But you could just tell the energy that Larson is a rugged player, just generally, and a rugged defender. So, but I don't necessarily have the same concern that everybody else does for the perimeter defense. I think their defense will look a little bit different overall this season. But yeah, not necessarily concerned. The roster is full, and I don't think it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what Heat fans need.
Alec Burks.
Say what?
My bad, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was saying I was just looking up the numbers on Alec Burks for what he did against the Pacers in the playoffs. It's kind of wild. Like, it was a wild sample, but, you know, he averaged just 18 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist in the 5 games that he played for the Knicks in the playoffs against the Pacers. So he's not going to average that for the Heat, not saying that, you know. But his last NBA game played was a game 7 where he dropped 26 points in 27 minutes, got to the line 8 times. So, like, you know, they picked up a productive player in Alec Burks, and I already know people are going to be upset next season when he's getting minutes over Pau Larson. And I do think Larson should play, by the way. I'm rooting for him. I want to see him in this rotation because, like Eternal was talking about, like, I think he's a competitive defender. He's you know, not like a very skinny kid, right? He's already got some weight on him. He's still going to put on more, obviously, as he grows. I think he fights over screens on defense. So I think, like, if perimeter defense is already a question, I think you would want to play him. It's just when you – I know people don't want to hear, but when you start going through the roster, like, it's that rotation is already starting to look full if you assume that Kalel Ware is going to be playing in the rotation from day one. If you assume Love is in there, Jaime, Duncan, and then that – so that's already a 9-man rotation, right, assuming Terry, Tyler, and Jovic start, and then you get to J. Rich, Burks, Pell Larson. So obviously, if Jay Rich is out, like it, and then now they've got Burks there, it just feels like, you know, we I don't know how much of Larson we see unless they just like to go small, and one of Love or Ware is not in the rotation for an extra perimeter guy. So it's a little, the roster is a little weird right now. Like, I think Spo can actually get you to a league average defense, even with a roster like that. And, but is that offense like good enough? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now that's an interesting perspective in terms of Spo and Bam will probably get you to some kind of respectability on defense, but it's interesting because the team just feels like it needs a shakeup. I think we've all acknowledged that, but I just don't know that there is one out there to be had at this moment. You have to hope that something opportunistic pops up. Eternal, final thoughts before we close.
Yes, I have a tweet that I want to read. It just came up from Keith Smith, who made a very good point as we talked about why we haven't been seeing any kind of fireworks or anything like that. I'll read this very briefly. Keith Smith, NBA on Twitter, says, talking to some teams tonight, and it sounds like what's been worked on now is expanding some of the previously agreed upon trades. There are also talks of tying some deals together into bigger deals. Essentially, teams are trying to find ways to make mutually beneficial trades. Related to this, with most of the best free agents off the board, it sounds like trades are probably the next wave. Anyone looking to make a major impact move is going to have to do it via trade at this point.
That is music to Heat fans' ears, and I am glad that's how we're ending this episode, because we hope that there are trades, because when there are trades, people love to listen to this show. And so we will lean into that all day, and I'm not afraid to say that. Thank you for joining us. We will dive into the next wave of whatever comes the Miami Heat's way soon. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to Eternal. Shout out to Prize Pick. Shout out to Water Cleanup of Florida. If you got the schmutz, they got the guts. Peace out.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.